Yes, Lord. Grab your Bibles. Turn to Matthew 21. We're going through the book of Matthew. So today we're going to pick up on Matthew 21, verse 18. And we just left the scene as Jesus comes into the temple, and they're exchanging money, and they're selling animals for sacrifice, and they're actually gouging price markups on everything, making profit from the business of the temple. And we talked about that dynamic, and Jesus comes in and throws over tables. And now it seems like we have another scene two here today, where you see Jesus rise up, and it begins like this. In the morning, as he was returning to the city, turned over the tables, went out to Bethany, it said. In the morning, returns back to the city. He became hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. So when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." You guys ever try that? Like try to move a mountain, you know? I read that. I'm studying, and I read that where people were frustrated. They were having crises of faith because they tried these things, you know, like move this mountain or move this car with prayer. And I think they took that quite literally in its meaning. And so like anything, guys, looking through this, praying on it, studying it, what I found was there's a lot in this little section of scripture. And there's a lot for you and I. So let's start, first of all, with the fig tree. You guys know what a fig tree is? It's where fig Newtons come from. All right, yeah. That's, anyone never had a fig before? There's probably some of us that haven't, you know, outside of a fig Newton. They don't grow that way. Turns out, I know, yeah. That'd be amazing though, right? Jesus would be, "Oh, fig Newton," yeah. No. A fig tree, you see, it would have been like a natural treat, right? Right, you see, if you saw the fig tree in the time, in the culture, you know, you didn't have Starbucks, okay? You didn't have like a frozen yogurt place. You didn't have, you know, at Walmart, a Snickers bar, or, you know, now they have everything in M&Ms. You can get all that stuff. If you want a sweet treat, if you want a pleasurable moment, right, a taste explosion in your mouth, there's ways to do this. They got happy hours at Sonic. You can get slushies. You can do whatever you want. If you wait late enough, you can get a milkshake for half price somewhere. I mean, there's all these things that you can do. But if you were Jesus and you were walking these streets coming into the city and you saw a fig tree and you just really were craving something, that would have been a pleasurable thing because the figs were sweet and they were good for you. So quite literally, Jesus was like wanting something to eat. It said he was hungry, like some of you are probably getting, right, as the church service goes along. And so he went to that tree, and then lo and behold, all it had was leaves, and there was no fruit. And then he cursed the tree, and it withered immediately. Well, as I read, as I prayed, okay, Lord, what about the fig tree? You know, it would be fun, right? Come in here, Will. And we'll just talk about fruit, and we'll just beat on everyone for not doing more church-like activities, right? We can just do that, Wade? Like, it sounds good, right? This is what we do, okay? He's going to wither you if you don't do what he tells you to do, right? You've got to go do visits and doors and vacation Bible school, right, and all these things, and don't do this, but do this behavior, and that is your fruit. But it, not to discredit that truth. I mean, there is that truth in there, but what are you saying, Jesus? Well, first of all, after study, what I found, you see, my friends, is that in the land of Israel, fig trees, they were symbolic of a lot of things. First of all, prosperity. And so you can see that I have some scripture references here on this next slide. So prosperity, there's some scriptures there where the fig tree is symbolic of prospering, prosperity. Also pleasure, right? It's a pleasurable thing to eat. In Judges, it uses that security. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Isaiah, Joel. The fig tree was also symbolic of Israel. So Hosea 9:8 says, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness, and I saw your fathers as the first fruits on the fig tree in its season. And you see, the beginning of the season, the fig would come, and it would start small, and it would be sweet, not as sweet as it would get, but it would do, right? And so that symbolism that it's just growing, it's just beginning, but it's still sweet, and like the nation of Israel has prosperity and the guidance of God, so it became symbolic over the nation of Israel. In Jeremiah 24, and the Lord said to me, verse 3, it says, and the Lord said to me, what do you see, Jeremiah? I said, figs. The good figs are very good, and the bad figs are very bad, so bad they cannot be eaten. And this was used to describe the people of Judah. Well, so what, Will? Well, think about it. What Jesus is foreshadowing here, what he's announcing, he's not just mad, you know? We don't need to get like Samuel Jackson to play him and start turning over tables and yelling, right, and cursing fig trees. He's not just mad and angry, but the judgment of God is coming upon the nation of Israel. Because earlier in the scripture, 3 years earlier, as a matter of fact, we talked about last week, Jesus came into the temple where he's been coming his whole life for Passover, for this pilgrimage. And he comes in and he sees this corruption, these people getting rich, being greedy, and taking advantage of those people who are traveling in for their religious experience, the right of their nation and ancestors, okay? And he got sick of it, and he came in 3 years earlier and turned over tables. And he'd gone, and he's been in this ministry, and now he comes back, and what does he find? The same thing again, maybe worse. And this is the line. You see the line being drawn in the sand here. What's happening is Jesus is announcing the fig tree. I came and I saw leaves and I thought, oh, maybe there's fruit in this. But when I got closer, what I realized is, no, it looks like a fig tree, but it's not a fig tree. The nation of Israel had no fruit. They had no faith in the God that chose them. And so it's a pivotal point here in the story of Jesus that we read in Matthew. No turning back. Like he's told them, I'm going up to Jerusalem and they're going to persecute me. They're going to torture me and they're going to kill me. No, wait, Lord, no, it can't. It is. Watch. Go in there, turn over tables. Fig tree, done with you. Withered up right now. Turning my favor away from you. And the rest of the story goes, guy named Saul becomes Paul, brings the gospel to the Gentiles, and praise the Lord, because you and I can hear about it here in Prescott Valley and follow God. But this is a pivotal point, and you see this in Jeremiah 8:13, this the prophecy that says, he says, I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grapes shall be on the vine, nor figs on the tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things I've given them shall pass away from them. So I don't know, it's starting to sound like a good Mother's Day message, right? Right? So, yeah. Jesus cleansed the temple. You see this, there's a parable, and I'm going to read to you. You can make a note if you want. You may not have time to turn there. Luke 13, 6 through 9, and it says this. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I've been, come on, that's great, right? 3 years. This is what Jesus did. He came and they weren't doing the right things. There wasn't the fruit. There was corruption. They looked like a fig tree, but they weren't. It was just leaves. And then he left, and then he came back. And 3 years later, it's the same thing. And now you see this parable. Look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. I think that's like the story of me. Probably God had that kind of conversation, right? And Jesus is like, Will, I'm going to fertilize him. I'm going to help him out. Like, don't turn your favor away from him. Don't cut him down. Don't destroy and consume all the fruitfulness that's possible in his life. You see, it says that he found nothing on it but only leaves. So where fruit was supposed to be, there was only leaves. See, I think this is important. We look at that, and I think we can really get into that. It is. It's very interesting. It's this metaphor of the nation of Israel, and it is telling us what's about to happen. And you can see, but why study them? Why know about their experience with God? Well, one, it tells us about God, but it tells us about us. And so we look at this, and we have to ask, okay, what are you telling us, Lord? And here's what the Lord was leading me into here. You see, where fruit was supposed to be, there was only leaves. That was the problem. Were there other trees that didn't even appear to bear fruit? I don't know. You know, was there other trees that were bearing fruit and he did this to make a point? I don't know. The scripture doesn't say. It would be using my imagination. But the fig leaf, it showed up somewhere before. Genesis 3:7. You know the story of Adam and Eve? They come together, you know, naked, not ashamed, everything's good, choose their own way over God's way. And then you see this, and then it says in Genesis 3:7, then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. They hid behind fig leaves. Yeah. A lot like this tree, a lot like the nation of Israel, you see, because they had these practices and these rituals and the appearance of bearing fruit, but really they weren't bearing the sweet and good fruit that they were created to do and bear and be. And it was hiding behind fig leaves. Okay, Lord. So, leaves then, they give the appearance of life. They give the appearance of fruitfulness. Am I making this up? Does this sound? Is this resonating with you? Do you see what's happening here? Like, not only is Jesus telling about the nation of Israel, but he's telling you about Will and about Wade and about Brandy and about Bill. And about Juan, and about all of us. And so it made me ask this question, and I don't know the answer. So if it doesn't bear figs, is it really a fig tree? I don't know. We had an apple tree at our house when I was growing up, and it seemed like it didn't bear apples. I mean, I guess technically it was still an apple tree, but we didn't benefit from that. I mean, I guess it's classification, the apple bush, right? Yeah, apple bush. Yeah, I had a tree that was dying in my yard this year, got to use the chainsaw and cut it down because it was taking up the ground, is what they said in that parable. Look, cut it down, it's wasting the space of the ground, it's taking up the ground, and it'd be better to cut it down than let it continue to take up the ground. So if it doesn't bear figs, this is a fig tree. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? How would you like that said about you? Jeez, Will. You're just using up the ground, man. There's probably some statistic I didn't look up on the average number of words a human being says. And how many of those do I waste? And how much oxygen, you know? How much carbon dioxide am I expelling out of my mouth? And is it even worthwhile? Is it even making a difference? I don't know, you know? Cut him down, Lord, because he's taking up the ground. So here's the question the Lord asked me. He's like, so what are you? And to be honest, in my life, this was illustrated, and I think it's appropriate because it's Mother's Day. And you know, all joking aside, something that I know my mother taught me was, you know, about who I am. She brought me to church. She tried to build me up. She tried to tell me about who I am, and I had to find my own way. And then I got married, and, you know, okay, all joking aside, I'm not necessarily her fourth kid, but I do learn a lot from my wife, okay? In the time we've been together, I learn a lot. And God talks about this. If you're a husband, I mean, you have these two charges. One, that you would live with your wife in an understanding way. Really hard to do, okay? Because you don't understand, right? Okay. And then the other thing is that you love your wife like Jesus loved the church and you give yourself up for her. Also very hard because we're selfish creatures who are so worried about our own needs and have so little faith in God to meet our needs that we beat our wives up about it, okay? In that, what I've learned is, so what are you, Will? Who are you? What are you about? Are you this person? And it's easy to say I'm this. It's easy for that tree to say I'm a fig tree and represent itself as a fig tree. And then when you go there to get fruit, you realize it is not what it says it is. If I am who I say I am, then the next question comes in. What fruit should I be bearing if I am that person? If I said I'm a pastor, but I never preached a sermon, would I be a pastor, or I never ministered in a different way? If you were a police officer, but you parked your car at home, would you still be a police officer? If you were a coach, but you never had a team that you instructed, would you still be a coach? A dentist who never sees a patient, who does nothing about the inside of a mouth, would he still be a dentist? Well, Will, you're losing me. I know. Okay, let me bring that back down here. What I'm saying is there's things that we represent ourselves to be. Whatever it is, I'm a husband. This is what I do for work. I'm a Christian. I'm compassionate. I'm caring. I'm forgiving. Whatever it is that you believe and know that you are, if you are that, what fruit should you be bearing? And then if you're not bearing that fruit, are you really who you say you are? And I've learned this, you see, because with my wife, for me to say I love you but do nothing loving, it's really not true. To be a mother, entitled only but not to mother your kids, it is not motherhood. To be a father and not father your kids, it's not fatherhood. To be a follower of Christ but not go anywhere he's leading you, you are not a follower then. And so you can have the appearance of it. Buy every t-shirt you want. Buy yourself the best boss cup or the best mom t-shirt. But if you're not a mom or a boss, then you aren't what you say you are. It's just elaborate fig leaves. So this is what Jesus is saying to me. So Will, what are you? Like, who is it that you want to be? Who is it that you know I've created you to be? And are you doing the things and acting in the way that you should if you are that person? And then you've got to face the fact, what if I'm not doing those things? Am I really what I say I am? Well, it says in the scripture, it says, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it'll happen. Why that? Why that? It's this word faith. What's between you and being the person you say you are? It's doubt. It's fear. Shame. Guilt. Unwillingness to let go of self-control. Any of this ringing home, or am I just, I might be just listing my problems, right, Wade? Okay. But that is what's killing the fruit. And so I love coming here with you guys on Sunday morning. I love drinking the coffee, eating sweets, doing baptisms, but could we be a people who are really who we say we are? Could we have fruit in our life? And what this is saying is, he's saying, truly I say to you guys, you don't get it. The Israelites don't have faith that I am the Son of God, so they're not following me. They don't have faith that the God is local and loves them. They're so caught up in their own practices, their own beliefs, their own images. They're so worked up on bedazzling their fig leaves that they don't worship me. They don't follow me. They say they're my people, but they're not. And so I'm done with them. So what about you? Truly, I say to you, if you guys had faith, not only could you go up to that tree if that's what God wanted you to do, right? This is your faith. God says, do this, Will. Okay? 4 years ago, God said, Will, leave the university. Go work at the church. For me to say, well, I will follow you, but I won't do that. Right? That would not make sense. My faith had to be in action. I had to step out and do that. And has it been perfect and easy every moment? No. Has it been good? Yes. Has it been a blessing? Yes. And so God, even if he called you in the moment, he's saying, if you had faith, you would do what he asked you to do. And when you did what he asked you to do, you'd be surprised what he can do through you. That's what that is saying. Go do this. I don't know, God. Believe. Have faith. If you have faith, then you're not going to say you believe, but you're going to do what you say you believe. You're going to be who you said you are. Go here, do this, Will. Okay, Lord. Watch what he could do. Watch what he could do. He's not giving you a blank check. He's not giving you a magic wand to say, move mountains and kill trees. What he's saying is the problem we have here is the nation of Israel has no faith in me. They don't listen to my voice. They won't do what I ask them to do. They won't follow me. Yet, they're the one that's pronouncing my father's name to the whole world, yet they don't follow him. I talked to people this week, you know, who had church experiences that doubt God's existence now, you know? It's the fig leaves. We're doing that, you know? Because you think this person has it all together. I mean, clearly, right? They let me speak, so I clearly got to have it all together. No. I don't have it all together. Like, I'm just the knucklehead with the mic that God loves enough to forgive and have grace and mercy. Truly, I say to you, if you have enough faith, and 22, and whatever you ask in prayer, you'll receive if you have faith. And that just made me scratch my head like a question mark, because where can we go with that? I mean, you could say, okay, well, you just don't have enough faith. That's why your prayers aren't answered. And that's not what it's saying, guys. Like, we have to follow God. We have to follow God. We can't just go through the motions. We can't just have barbecues for having barbecues. We can't just watch movies in here for having barbecue or having watching movies. We can't even do baptisms just to get a free bath, okay? We can't do this. We need to have faith in God and to follow him. We need him to tell us who we are, and then we will walk into the place that he's created us to be and do the things and become the person that he's created us to be. So what do you do? What do you do? What's your goal, Will? Like, what do you... I'm not trying to manipulate you guys. And you probably get tired of me getting down on my knee and praying that God would speak to us and that he would reveal what's going on in our lives. But that's what this is about. I want to challenge you guys, because the last thing I want is for us to go through the motions until one by one we have funerals, and then it's awesome if we're in heaven, but what if we were alive here? What if we really followed Jesus? What if we really bared fruit? What if we were a bunch of figs, you know? And everyone was like, Will, love that guy, man. He is sweet. Like a fig. Now, they probably wouldn't say that, but you know. What if the fruit of my life was good? What if it wasn't just the fig leaves of my life was good? What if my wife and my kids said, you know what, Will really is a fig. He's not just wearing a fig leaf. And he's a rotten grape underneath, you know? It's like, let's not be those people. So what do we do? Will, give me the practical five-step program. Okay, here we go. No, I'm not going to give that to you. Jesus talked about this, and he said this, John 15, 1 through 6. Jot this down somewhere. Take a look at it. Pray about it. Pray over this. And you've read it. You've heard it. But hear it new. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Anyone feel that going on? Even the ones who bear fruit, I mean, there's pruning. Why? So that you could bear more fruit. So here's the warning. If you say, Lord, I want to confess, like I'm living a life where what I'm presenting to the world and the people around me is an elaborate fig leaf. It's bedazzled, it's painted, it's washed clean, and it looks like everything is great. But in reality, I'm not bearing the fruit of who you've made me to be. Who I know I'm supposed to be. Who I claim to be. You know what will happen? If you start bearing fruit, you're going to be pruned. It's probably going to happen. It's probably going to happen. You get baptized, yeah, the attack's coming. Call you Tuesday, you know? So I know that that is going to happen. The men that came back from the retreat, which I forgot to mention, those guys, without a doubt, I'm sure they all had crazy weeks because they get up on the mountain and they have this experience and the Lord speaks. And they come back, and our enemy wants nothing more than to say, nah, he didn't speak. Don't do that again. That was too much of a headache. Don't meet with other men. Why don't you stay home and be alone and just work on your fig leaf? And then Sunday, we can all just show off our fig leaves and not be really who we are and not be honest and transparent about what's going on in our lives. Why our churches and our families and our communities die because we just focus on our fig leaves. And he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. What's that mean? I don't know, Daniel, what do you think that means, man? Well, here's what I know. If I look at my life, if I ask God to open me up and reveal what's going on in my life and where he's working, I might see some problems, I might see some issues, I might see areas in my life where I'm not bearing the fruit that God has me to be. And he said, if your mind, if my word has penetrated your heart, then you're already clean. I've already created the palette that I need to do this work. But if you want to bear fruit, the only way to do it is to abide in me. How do you abide in me? Guys, there's no shortcut, man. Turns out all those pastors that talked to me since I was, you know, in the preschool were not wrong. At some point in time, you got to pray. Okay? You got to pray. You got to talk to God. You're going to have to read his word so you know what he said. You're going to have to listen. You're going to have to follow him. You're going to have to do what he says, right? You're going to have to come together with other people that believe in some kind of format. It doesn't have to be here, but this is an option. And we come together, why? We abide in him. If we abide in him, then he'll create fruit in us. But you and I, what I want is a fruit-producing process that I can control, that I can create, right? Yeah, I mean, maybe it's juicing, right? Yeah. Get a fidget spinner, you'll feel a lot better, okay? Get two of them, you'll feel twice as good. Maybe, like, I see all these things. Maybe I could drink some Plexus or something, and that would, like, help me bear fruit, right? What is it going to be? Is it going to be diet? Is it going to be exercise? Is it bathroom selfies that I need to take more often? What is it going to be? Is it going to be going to college more or making more money or dressing differently? No. No, those things aren't going to make you bear fruit. Even just trying to be nicer to people. I'm angry, Will. What do I do? Stop being angry. No, that's not it. The Lord. Only through him could you bear fruit. And how would that make sense, right? Because, you know, if Smitty and I are having conflict, not that that would ever happen, but let's just say if we did, I would think from a really, this is what they call the flesh, right? My humanistic standpoint, I would want to do everything possible to take care of that myself. If I'm angry, then I want to, you should count to 10 and take deep breaths. Okay, these are fine, and these are great steps. What God is saying is if you want the fruit of your life to change or to exist or to be positive, you don't force that to happen. The Lord does that, because without him, you're just a branch, and a branch doesn't bear fruit. A branch by itself doesn't bear fruit unless it's connected to the vine or the trunk, if it was a tree, which is connected to the root. Fruits of the Spirit, I want those. How do I get them? The Spirit, right? The Spirit of God living inside of you makes that fruit come out of you. Yeah. Not a shortcut. It's not an act of will necessarily. Your act of will is surrender. So I go back to that question. So what are you? What are you? Who are you? What's important to you? What do you believe? What do you know is true? What do you do and don't you do? Okay, if that's true, what fruit, what should your life look like? What should the people around you be seeing and experiencing? What should come out of your life? What should be the fruit of your life? If not, we got to pray. We've got to pray. And the first step is what? Surrender. Because you can't make it better. The Lord makes it better. So you stop, you drop what it is that you're trying to do to manipulate that. Lord, I don't know, man, my marriage, you know, I can't live with my wife in an understanding way. Well, be more understanding. No, like, yeah, that's where you want to get, but start that. You don't do that without the Lord. So what's your first step is surrender. Angry, well, take 10 deep breaths. You might need to, but you need the Lord to help you in this, right? I'm afraid. Okay, don't be afraid. No. Keep the lights on when you sleep. Okay, those might be practical steps, but the first thing you've got to do is go to the Lord. Have I beat the horse dead yet? Probably, right? Okay. If you're doubting, if you're hesitating, then my question is, if you're not bearing that fruit, are you really who you say you are? Are you really what you say you are? Do you really believe what you say you believe is true? Okay, well, I think one important thing is just to be honest, what are the fig leaves that you're hiding behind? Do you know? Do you need help finding that? I know there's people that would love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you, but you can pray too, and God speaks, you know, He leads his people. Because remember, the way to become fruitful is this. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So let's pray through a little bit of this. I want to invite the worship team up. Oh, my Father in heaven, I just thank you so much for your words and your scripture. I thank you for creating us and sustaining us, and I love you, and I worship you, and we sang How Great Is Our God, and I know I don't even begin to fathom 1/1,000,000% how great you are and how awesome you are, God. And I ask that each day, each moment that we walk with you, we might see more and more how awesome you are. Lord, and I see the picture. I feel like we're a bunch of branches oftentimes, Lord, because we're a pile of branches trying our hardest to produce figs. And there's even branches holding up other branches like, you could do it, just grunt and a fig will happen, you know? And then when it doesn't work, the girl leaves. Well, this is the way that I talk, you know, because I'm doing well, or I have this smile. You know, I'm really stylish the way I dress, or I'm really strong or athletic or intelligent. Or look how spiritual I am. Look at that. Look at how important I am because of my job. Look how quiet I am. You don't come closer. These leaves that we put up, Lord. And so I pray that as we look at this scripture and as we leave, that we would individually, Lord, and together here, just petition you to reveal these leaves that we put up. And I asked that question, Lord, and we asked you, who am I? What am I about? What do I believe? Well, Lord, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. Well, are you following him? Oh, yeah, I don't know. Not always, right? Oh, man, I'm a dad. How's that going? What's the fruit of that in your life? Are you doing the right things? I'm a friend. How's that going? I'm holy and righteous. Really? Yeah, are you doing that? I live pure. Are we really doing that? I trust God for anything. Do you really do that? And I think so many times the answer is no, Lord. And forgive us because we've been trying to do it on our own. And we wear ourselves out. And we get frustrated, and some of us just quit. And I just stop. We just stop, Lord, and we come before you, and all we know what to do is to surrender, because we know that there's pieces missing. We know that we're not doing this life right. We know we're not doing church right. We're not doing marriage right. We're not doing friendship right. We're not doing brotherhood and sisterhood right. We know we're not doing these things right. So my prayer is that we would stop. Stop the striving and the struggling. And that we would simply be still and know that you're God. That we would be a people that instead of grabbing our phone to solve a problem or buying something to make us feel better or reaching for something to numb the pain, that we would reach for you. That, Lord, forgive us for the sin that gets in the way. And draw us near to you, Lord, because you're right here. make your presence known, Lord, so that we would turn to you and that we would look to you to change the fruit of our life and that we would be who we say that we are. But right now, we just throw down our leaves and we say, Lord, that we need you, and without you, we can't do this life. We definitely can't get heaven. So my prayer, Lord, for me, for everyone else here, is that we'd walk out of here today and that we would sit with that question and that we would pray and ask you that question to know who we are, to know what you want us to do, and then to do that. It could be physical, it could be spiritual, it could be work-related, family-related, thought-life-related, related to our Christian service, Lord, but I ask that you would speak to us over the coming minutes and hours and days and weeks and months, and that we would look at that fig tree and that we would see us. Lord, help us to bear the fruit that comes from following you and having your Spirit live in us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.